We truly are grateful for everyone who is here today. I know that we have a number of visitors, and we're thankful that you are here. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. The Lord has truly blessed us recently with some who have been placing membership with us. We're grateful for that, and we have some more this morning for which we're thankful. Ken and Lauren Gorman, they're placing membership with us today. I think most everybody knows them, as well as, where's Billy? Can't see Billy. Billy Johnson. There she is back there in the back. Okay, she's placing membership with us today as well. We're so grateful that these have chosen to be with us and hope and pray that we can help them, and they certainly will help us. Viktor Frankl was a Viennese Jew during World War II. The Germans imprisoned him for more than 3 years. And he was moved from one concentration camp to another one. He even spent several months at Auschwitz, and he wrote the following words, and I quote, "The experiences of camp life show that man does have a choice of action. There were enough examples, often of a heroic nature, which proved that apathy could be overcome, irritability suppressed. Man can preserve a vestige of spiritual freedom in independence of mind, even in such conditions of psychic and physical distress. We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that one's attitude in any given set of circumstances to choose one's own way." We'll be looking at Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Instead of the words of Jesus being in red, they're in white today, so you have to get a little used to that, I guess. "But when one of those who were teaching at the table with him heard this, he said to him, 'Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' But he said to him, 'A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' And another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. And then the head of the household became angry and said to the slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" You know, when we come together to worship the Lord, we are truly here to be nourishing our inward self, our eternal spirits. Now, I don't know about you. I might could guess, but I don't know. But I usually eat 3 meals a day. I have no problem with eating. I'd much rather feast than fast. But sometimes I even eat more than that. As Becky can tell you, I will eat some snacks between meals and sneak a little ice cream here and there when she's not looking. I'll be the first to admit that I don't always eat food that is good for my body. But I'm not going to miss many meals. And no one has to twist my arm and make me eat. Have you ever gone on a diet? Have you noticed that when you are dieting, your body and your mind feels deprived? And usually when you're dieting, that's when every advertisement on television is about food. You've been there, obviously. Have you ever fasted for a whole week? And most of us would probably do well if we even fasted for one day. Now, there must be a spiritual application to all this, or at least I hope there is and think there is. You're going to eat something to fill your spirit. You are what you eat, not only physically, but spiritually as well. Are you devouring spiritual food that is good for your soul? Or are you eating spiritual junk food? Are you dieting, fasting, or starving yourself spiritually while God is inviting you to his spiritual feast? It's truly a spiritual feast when we come together as we have this morning and partake of the Lord's Supper. And we do this every Lord's Day, as he certainly has given us that illustration in the Bible to do. There can be no meal more significant than the symbolic eating of the bread of Christ's body and the drinking from the cup of his saving and redeeming blood. That's what we just did. And certainly it is a great blessing to be able to do that as the children of God, as the brother and sister of Jesus Christ, who gave his very life for us. I am convinced that every time that God's saints assemble together for worship, whether it is Sunday school or worship services or Wednesday evening Bible study, it is certainly a time for spiritual feasting. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There are so many people that say, well, I don't want to go to worship services because I don't get anything out of it. And you've heard the saying, well, you only get something out of it if you put something into it, which I believe is true. But our responsibility is to worship God. Our command is to worship God. And not only are we to worship God in a vertical way, but we're also to look in a horizontal way. We are to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice what he said, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility as we come to worship service together to encourage one another, to stimulate one another, to pray for one another and encourage in any way that we can. He says, notice, encouraging one another as you see the day drawing near. What day? The day of our Lord, when he will return. And we're to be encouraging one another until that time. When God's family assembles for the purpose of praying and studying and singing and spurring one another on and encouraging one another, it is certainly a time of spiritual feasting. Why would anyone choose to starve his soul. Instead of providing himself with spiritual strength by feeding his soul. God knows what you need to survive and to thrive spiritually. And worship certainly fortifies your soul, enabling you to live victoriously in Jesus Christ. So not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm particularly today, why would you feast? Why would you fast, when you can feast? Why would you do without when you can have the abundant life in Jesus Christ? So what can we learn about feasting and fasting from today's text? Well, feasting at God's great banquet is a tremendous blessing. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 15, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Worshiping God and living the Christian life should never be a burden. It should always be a blessing. In the words of John in 1 John 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5 verse 3. I strongly believe that people who truly love the Lord do not find worship, do not find following God's commandments to be burdens. I have heard people who profess to be Christians say that the commandments of God are sometimes very burdensome. And I have to wonder about their faith. I have to wonder how strong they are in the faith. God's feast is ready. And you're invited to that feast each and every day of your life. I wonder, would you miss a special meal prepared for you by some great dignitary? Probably not. You would probably feel like that you were privileged to be invited. And yet there are some people that will offer flimsy excuses for not attending God's spiritual feast. In those days, a first invitation was extended, as we read in verse 17. It could be accepted or it could be rejected. But those who accepted the first invitation would receive another reminder or a second invitation when the feast was ready. And it was considered terribly rude to refuse to attend the banquet after accepting the first invitation. And if you are a Christian, you've already accepted God's first invitation. If you're not a Christian, then that invitation is open to you today. And God sends out a reminder every week for you to attend his banquet. God is intolerant of those who offer flimsy excuses, as we read in verse 21. In fact, the text says that God became angry with them. And he also stated that those who accepted the first invitation and then excused themselves from the banquet would not even get a taste or a crumb at his banquet. There are legitimate excuses, and then there are flimsy excuses. Have you ever offered excuses for not attending God's spiritual feast? If so, were they legitimate excuses or were they flimsy? By your very presence or your absence at God's spiritual feast, you are demonstrating what is most important to you. If there are other things that are more important and you do those things instead of coming and worshiping God, then you're not interested in eating God's spiritual feast as He has invited you to do. Most of us go where we want to go. We do what we want to do. And yeah, you need to instill in yourself the desire to attend God's spiritual feast whenever possible. God's invitation is to all people. In this parable, those who were invited and excused themselves represented the Jewish nation. But God also invited the Gentiles to His feast. Isn't it ironic that often God's people are less receptive while we ignore people who might be the most receptive? We generally invite people to our worship services or to become Christians who are most like ourselves, and that's okay, but we must never overlook people who are not like ourselves, who may be wanting to attend the spiritual feast of God. Jesus addressed this earlier in this chapter when talking about another meal. In Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your payment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. There is always room for one more at God's table. And we need to be concerned about one more. And invite one more and encourage one more and study with one more and teach one more. The servant told his Lord that he had gone out into the streets and the alleys and brought in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame, and there was still room in the banquet hall. The master said to the slave, "Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled." We are to encourage, we are to teach, and according to this passage, we are to even compel. The Lord loves all mankind. He wants every person to have an opportunity to be saved and to eat regularly at His banquet table. God wants His banquet hall to be filled. He wants His Bible classes for the people who need to study and want to study His Word. We need to attend the worship services so that we can draw closer to God and to one another. And then when visitors attend, they look for people who invited them. But I've seen on occasion that some visitors come in and say, "Hey, where's so-and-so? He invited me to come here." And they weren't here. We need to be present at God's spiritual feast. Those who were inviting others to the great banquet were also expected to attend the banquet. There are many reasons for attending the worship services and Bible classes and Sundays and Wednesdays, but one reason is there is a spiritual meal being served that will nourish you more than anything else that you could possibly be doing. Bring your Bible, your humble heart, your hungry soul and your joyful countenance. Praise the Lord from the depth of your being. Draw closer to God. Renew your allegiance to the Lord and to his kingdom. And strengthen yourself in the Lord's church. On Sundays and on Wednesdays, let's feast together. You don't have to fast alone. As we sang earlier, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come while he waits to welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine. Tomorrow may never be. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come, feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Are you feasting or are you fasting? We hope and pray that the sermon has drawn you closer to God. If there is anyone here today who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to have the prayers of the congregation or to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.